Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, July 28, 2016. A new report by Amnesty International says government soldiers raped women and burned villages in Leir County during South Sudan's violence.
They would go into a village, they would loot property, they would force these women and girls that they had captured to carry the looted property for them back to their base or where they were positioned. They would use them for a few days. They would rape them. They would force them to cook and clean and tend cattle for them.
And South Sudan's military spokesman says the army has arrested soldiers suspected of looting civilians in Juba.
The court has started its work. They have made some arrests. They are accused of different crimes ranging from looting, from murder, and other crimes. But the types of crimes are going to be disclosed to you in the course of the trials.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A new Amnesty International report says South Sudanese government soldiers continue to commit human rights violations in the weeks immediately following the signing of the August peace deal. In the report entitled, "We Are Still Running, War Crimes in Leir," the UK-based rights watchdog says they documented cases of violence against civilians and entire villages in Leir County by government soldiers and allied militia, which Amnesty says could constitute war crimes. Ian Bior has more from Washington.
A man identified in the Amnesty report only as Maluth says soldiers shot and killed his brother, then came after his stepmother in her home and shot and killed her as well. He says government soldiers then took his sister and wife, forced them to the river, and raped them. Then, Maluth told Amnesty, the soldiers burned their houses. Lama Faki, the senior crisis advisor for the Human Rights Watchdog, says they interviewed 71 people, and all of them had similar stories to tell of targeted violence against innocent civilians.
They would go into a village. They would loot property. They would force these women and girls that they had captured to carry the looted property for them back to their base or where they were positioned. They would use them for a few days. They would rape them. They would force them to cook and clean and tend cattle for them. And then in some cases, the women and girls found a way to escape. In other cases, the troops eventually let them go.
Faki says the most shocking finding is how widespread the practice was of targeting vulnerable individuals who were not soldiers. She says the occurrences documented by Amnesty are not isolated incidents, but are rather systematic attacks on villages and people trying to escape the violence. Faki says Leir County is a sparsely populated area, but no one was spared from the violence.
There was not a community under opposition control that we visited that was not affected by the violence. There was not an individual that we met who did not personally have a story about abduction and rape or knew someone intimately who had been abducted and raped. There was no one that we spoke with that had not lost a family member or a close friend in intentional attacks against civilian population.
Lul Rai, the army spokesperson for the SPLA, downplayed the report's findings. Rai says that he does not deny that, in his words, one or two members of the army raped civilians and burned and looted property, but called them isolated incidents by a handful of soldiers. Rai says the army has taken steps in the last few days to professionalize the army, making them more aware of their obligations and to remind them of their mandate as government soldiers.
The accusations are serious. We have taken the accusations seriously. We have taken the accusations positively, and we have taken steps to ensure that these accusations in the next future do not repeat themselves. And in this case, we have been calling upon anybody who might be wronged by SPLA to come forward, because it is not the entire army that is entertaining, that is condoning acts of impunity.
The report comes one day after the United Nations said that there has been at least 120 cases of rape and violence against civilians in South Sudan since the beginning of the fighting that erupted almost 3 weeks ago in Juba. Faki says it's no surprise that these types of violations have continued because the people who are responsible are still in power. One witness in Leir County told Amnesty International that the uniforms the soldiers were wearing were, quote, the one for Salva Kiir. Faki says the trend of impunity in South Sudan on the leaders responsible for the violence lends to the cycle of violence.
These people are still in positions where they can command troops to commit atrocities, where they are sending a message to troops that rape and abduction is something that is not going to be punished. Until we have leaders that are going to punish their troops and ensure that their troops are not committing these types of violations, they're going to continue.
The August peace deal paved the way for the creation of a hybrid court that would try alleged perpetrators of war crimes and crimes against humanity during the 2.5-year conflict. Faki says violence has persisted throughout the country due largely to the fact that both sides know there is complete impunity when attacks are committed against civilians. She says there is an urgency to establish the hybrid court.
Again, I think there is no excuse for inaction. The violations have been well documented, and it really is time for the African Union to show leadership and state that they are not going to allow these types of violations to continue on the continent. There can be no question about who is responsible for these abuses. There can be no question that they are taking place. The only question that remains is, why are they failing to act?
Earlier this month, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon urged the 15-member Security Council to impose an arms embargo and targeted sanctions on South Sudan. The African Union has also approved a move to send a regional force into the country to curb the violence. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior. In Washington.
And in Juba, South Sudan's military spokesman, Brigadier Lul Roy Kong, says the top military leadership has detained 14 soldiers accused of killing civilians and looting property during the recent violence in Juba. Kong says the SPLA has set up court-martial to try the suspected soldiers. For VOA News, Tito Justin has more from Juba.
Brigadier Kong says following the recent fighting, the army is concerned about what he calls isolated cases of abuses by certain elements in the army who took the law into their hands during clashes between South Sudan Army and forces loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar. Traders and residents, especially those living near main roads, have accused the SPLA of looting their property during and after the fighting. Kong says the SPLA acknowledges that some crimes were committed against civilians as well as fellow soldiers. He said a court-martial will try soldiers that are found guilty.
The court has started its work. They have made some arrests. A number of culprits have been arrested. They have been accused. They are accused of different crimes ranging from looting, from murder, and other crimes. But the types of crimes are going to be disclosed to you in the course of the trials by the Director of Military Justice.
This is not the first time SPLA soldiers are accused of abusing civilians. When conflict broke out in Juba in mid-December 2013, Human Rights Watch said thousands of civilians were killed because of their ethnicity or political alliance with the SPLA-MIO. The rights group said military and political leaders on both sides of the conflict have failed to apprehend soldiers who committed crimes during the 2-year conflict. This week, South Sudanese soldiers were accused by eyewitnesses of raping dozens of women and girls just outside a UN camp where the women and girls were seeking shelter. Kong says the army is waiting for civilians to file cases against errant members of the South Sudan army.
We have not received any formal complaint from anybody. Even the alleged rapes that were purported committed by SPLA members. We have not received any formal complaint from the alleged victims. We have not. And for law to take its course, you must have a complainant and a dependent.
Despele confirms that two of its soldiers in Wau found guilty of murdering innocent civilians were shot and killed by a firing squad, but the government did not publish their report on its investigation of the killings and no public statement was ever released on the alleged firing squad. Kong says the two executions were carried out to send the strong message.
It cannot be business as usual. We would like our security forces to respect. We like them to respect our civilians. We like them to respect the laws of this country. And where one goes wrong or where one takes laws into his hands or her hands, then of course going to be dealt with according to military rules, regulations and the code of conduct.
Both the UN and government officials estimated that more than 300 people died in the recent fighting in Juba and thousands of others fled their homes. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
Similar reports of abuse by government soldiers have surfaced in Imatong State. Ikoto County authorities say hundreds of civilians from Lotuho Ieha Irenyi villages of the Sertenya area, which borders Uganda, are still hiding in the bush after government soldiers raided dozens of villages, burning houses and stealing cows. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit.
Local leaders allege that a group of SPLA soldiers last week attacked two villages in Ikoto County, killing six civilians and burning 130 houses in Lotuhoya and Irenge villages of Sretenya. Civilians who are now returning to their homes say they lost everything, including beddings, which were burned. Amelia Muya is among those who fled last week's violence. She says she wonders how she will start up life again.
They took seven beds with mattresses, bed sheets, saucepans. Nothing was left in the house. After we fled the area, when we returned, we found our house was completely broken.
Salvatore Abdallah Lorisamoy is the Ikoto County Commissioner. He says among those killed were two children. Lorisamoy says the soldiers stormed the two villages and looted hundreds of cattle.
Six civilians were killed, three children and three adults, and two others wounded. From the army also, there are two who died and other two wounded. Meanwhile, two children are still missing.
The commissioner says the soldiers clashed with civilians as they were tracking down suspected criminals who are believed to have attacked Ikoto police post and prison a couple of weeks ago. But he says burning villages and looting cattle was not in the mandate of the soldiers.
The villages they burn are from Seretenya. They told the chief they are looking for criminals who sought Ikoto. It was from 21st to 22nd of July, they burned many houses, especially in Lotuhoyaha, something like 137. So the situation of civilians there is bad.
Salvatore is calling on the civilians to return to their homes. He says all the cows looted should be returned to the owners as soon as possible. The SPLA commander in Ikoto, who does not want to be identified by name because he's not authorized to speak to reporters, says as the soldiers were tracking down criminals, when armed youths in the area opened fire on the soldiers. The commander says in retaliation, the soldiers exchanged fire with the armed youths and collected all the cows in the two villages. SPLA spokesman Brigadier General Lul Rui Kwong says his office is not aware of any fighting that has happened in Ikoto County of Imatong State.
No, I'm not aware of any fighting in the location you have just mentioned.
For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, armed foreign nomads are causing panic and fear among South Sudanese. We'll have more on that story when we return.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are African countries doing enough to preserve wildlife? And do you have any suggestions?
Wildlife in Africa is on the downside. So encouragement to the governments is that they should penalize anybody who goes into the forest to lose or make our animals extinct.
Automatically, no, I can't say yes. Because you can take a scenario in Tanzania when they shot a certain lion over nothing.
Wildlife conservation is very, very poor. Some of these farmers, they are very, very poor. There is no way at least they can earn their living, having their survival from this wild animal. So it is very, very difficult, even though government is saying that let us have wildlife conservation, but it is not easy.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The paramount chief of Tombura County says thousands of nomads from neighboring Central African Republic have surrounded Tombura County, causing panic among local residents. The acting county commissioner of Tombura County confirms heavily armed nomads in military uniforms are just a few miles from county headquarters. Gabe Friday has more for VOA from Yambio.
The head of the traditional authority in Tombura County of Budwe State, Buribamu Babe, says the Amboro nomads from the Central African Republic have been streaming into South Sudan over the past few days. Paramount Chief Babe says the nomads move in large numbers with some riding on horseback.
Tombora at the moment is surrounded by the huge number of Amboro who are well armed, and we don't know their vision exactly, where are they coming for and what are they all for. They have crossed to the park, that's Sue Park, the way to Yambio, in between Yambio and Emokwe. They are also around those ends.
Acting Commissioner of Tombora County, Thomas Tumo, confirms the nomads have surrounded his county.
They are located in Kujana, 17 miles from here, and then Mabia Mupwe Road, 9 miles from Tombora Town. They are also located in Banzwa, that is to say 7 miles from town, and Nangongo, 12 miles from Tombora, and the initial Shibu Payam, they are located in Ngoko, that is within Shibu Town.
Tumo says those in Kujana area are mixed with the Resigard from Darfur who are in full military uniforms and are well armed. He says local residents are understandably frightened by the nomad presence in the area. Tombora County Police Inspector Major Lona Peter also confirms there has been a large influx on armed Amboro nomads in Tombora over the last few days. Peter says he has spoken to the state government officials but did not elaborate on any form of reaction from the state government. Peter says at least 6 local residents have reported their farms were destroyed by cattle belonging to the nomads. Speaking in Arabic, Peter strongly advises the local population to stay away from the nomads. Peter says nobody should touch the Amboro who are well armed. He says residents should leave that to the government. Nobody should kill Amboro cattle, he says, because it will only bring problems. Peter says if any Amboro cattle enters a farm, residents should immediately report the matter to the authorities who will handle it. Traditional leader Babe says local residents have told county authorities that the nomads are searching for water and greener pasture for their cattle.
Our main concern is they are moving when they are well armed. So that one is another concern to us, and it is a question mark for everybody, especially in Tombora County. We don't know exactly. But if they are to search for pasture, they have never crossed the way they have entered into Tombora at the moment.
Babe says he has written various letters to the nomadic pastoralists in their various locations to leave the territory of South Sudan peacefully. He says the nomads' cattle have destroyed crops and that some farmers no longer tend to their crops out of fear of being shot by the nomads. He is urging state authorities to take action. Acting Commissioner Tuma says the security operatives are coordinating with the state authorities on how to peacefully send the nomads back home. He also cautions residents against trading with the pastoralists.
People also should not carry stocks and shops to them. And no thief should receive any cattle or any cow from them. If any thief of this county receives any gift from them, that means they are selling the land to them.
The Amboro are nomadic pastoralists from the Central African Republic and Chad who move with the animals from one place to another in search of greener pasture and water. The last time Amboro came to Tombora County was in 2011 when they quarreled with local farmers over land and water. The nomads were expelled from the area by the former Western Equatoria state officials. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
Still in the former Western Equatoria state, a local vigilante group claiming to be connected to the SPLA-IO is denying reports by chiefs and church leaders who have accused the vigilante group of blocking the Tombora Ezo Road. A spokesman for the former Arrow Boys, Paul Okel, says the community of Ezo is to blame for insecurity in the Ezo County. Okel says his group is protecting the community from attacks by South Sudan Army in Budua State.
The road from Jabio up to Ezo is not blocked by us. It's blocked by the community themselves.
What is happening here is the church is saying that you've blocked the road. The church cannot lie. Why would the community block the road?
If the church can say we block the road, okay, why is the church not coming to access and see who blocked the road?
It's because you arrested people there, people who go to talk to you, you arrest them. You are holding people hostage.
No, no, people who come to talk to us, we don't arrest them. It is people who come with matters that we are not concerned, we have to get them in.
Are you accepting responsibility for arresting people?
No, we don't arrest people.
Now,
actually, we don't arrest people.
No, you said people who come with different matters, you take them in. You are accepting responsibility for arresting people.
People who come with different matters, we don't allow them to enter our side. This is what this is what I can put clear.
What do you mean by different matters?
Some of the things that people are coming with, the cases that we block the road and we are looting people, and these are the things that we don't do. We are all centralized in one place under a command. If you see that in our center there, all our forces are centralized in one place and they are under command. They don't go for looting. They don't go for riding on the road. But these are the cases that people are reporting. That
but people are running away from the area that you are looting people's properties. You have blocked the road. You are looting traders, and there is no peace there. How can 120 and 30 people run from one area? You think they are all lying?
No, the people cannot. They are all people. They are not lying. But the fact is, there is a total insecurity because, first of all, when we are in our centers, when these soldiers come and attack us, they don't only attack our forces. They attack us together with the community.
But
and the community.
But you also attack the people under your control. You are lying to the media and you are doing something different on the ground. The church is saying your group is causing a lot of havoc in Rongu, Ezo, and the rest of the areas. And you are lying to the media that it is the government. Why would you do that? Why are you doing this to your people that you are claiming to fight on their behalf?
No, if the church is saying so, why is it that Rongu is not accessible with the medical? We told the people, the community of Rongu, they need medication, they need humanitarian support, and then the road is not open for the humanitarian bodies to come and access, even to access and see people who are suffering.
How can the humanitarian groups go to an area where you are chasing people away, you are looting things? You are behaving like criminals. How can humanitarian groups go there?
No. We are not doing, I'm telling you, we are not doing that because there are some people, there are some groups that organize themselves and do other things.
You told me that you control Rongu, Nzara, Ezo, up to Mamvolo. You said you are in charge of the area. Which group is doing that?
Things are happening. For instance, we don't control up the town. We don't control up the town. We control where our forces are. For instance, tell me in Rirongo, if you said today there's a raping going on in Rirongo, I'm able to tell you that in Rirongo my forces are there and I'm controlling them. And I don't control up to town. There's my boundary. I don't cross my boundary. And this is happening in the between.
Paul, let's be open here to our people, the South Sudanese. You are in the bush. You don't have salaries. You don't have where do you get your support from? You are looting people for survival. And you want to deny, to deceive the world that you're not doing it?
We are getting support from the community. We are getting support from them. For instance, in Rirongo, we are getting cassavas, these genus. They are the ones giving us. We don't need them.
How can they give you support when they are running away from you? You are looting them. You are taking these things by force.
No, what we need to do is, you need to come. You need to get the report from the grassroots. You need to get the report. Where are we? Right now, somebody who is in Rirongo, you need to get the report from them.
That's Paul Okel, spokesman for a local vigilante group claiming to be part of the SPLM-IO in Budwo State. He was speaking to me from Lirongu earlier today. Officials of South Sudan's Peace and Reconciliation Commission say they have established a mechanism to educate the general public about the peace process. They say the mechanism will encourage civil society organizations, faith-based groups, and other stakeholders of the IGAD peace deal to educate the public about the details in the peace agreement. Tito Justin has more for VOA from Juba.
The recent fighting in Juba has caused the panic and fear among many citizens across the country who are wondering whether or not the peace agreement signed in August will still hold. South Sudan's Peace and Reconciliation Commission's members today organized a discussion that brought together NGO officials, UN agency officials, as well as civil society activists to chat matters of how to educate South Sudanese about the peace deal. Ohida Joseph works for Catholic Relief Service as a peace building and governance advisor. He says many citizens are afraid because they are not being informed about the latest developments in the implementation of the August peace deal.
People should know that there is something good going on. That will create hope. People are relying on rumors. You go out now from here, you go to the streets, they will say, "Did you hear this?" So because I don't have any source of information, I have to wait for Sunday or Saturday or Friday to go to church to get the right information from a trustworthy source, I will pack my things and cross the border.
The Peace Commission and other advocacy officials are recommending what they described as a national dialogue to restore peace across the country. The Peace and Reconciliation Commission members say they will draft a solution-based document that advocates for the commitment of peace from actors on both sides. Chol Rumbang Luoth is chairman of the South Sudan Peace and Reconciliation Commission.
We are encouraging all the peace actors to come together so that they have one thing. And the way of disseminating of information had to be a correct way of disseminating peace messages so that our people over there to get the correct thing so that they are not panicked.
Edmund Yakani, Executive Director for Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, says the peace advocacy strategy targets people at the Boma, Payam, and county level.
We are going to come out with a very key regular public messages to improve communication of the public on what is going on positive, besides the negative stories that we're getting around South Sudan. And the other thing is that now we have Dr. Riek Macharat of Juba. What is next? The other thing is appealing to the international community to ensure that violence is not the option, to communicate to him the messages that we're calling for non-violence.
Judy Wakahiu is the program manager for community security and arms control at the United Nations Development Program. She says the UNDP stands ready to support the initiative.
We want to support the faith-based institutions, the civil society organization, of course the government. We want to continue in the next 3 months to support messaging for peace. And I think that is something I want to bring out here, that how can we support messaging for media?
Peace activists are expected to meet on Saturday to discuss how to send messages to vulnerable communities across South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. We now turn to Carol Van Damme for the latest news from New York.
Thanks, John. During a meeting today with UN Security Council in New York on peace building in Africa, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon addressed the members at the beginning of the meeting, saying, quote, "As we meet, South Sudan remains precariously poised on the brink of an abyss," end quote. Yesterday, news reports said United Nations peacekeepers stood by as women and girls seeking shelter at a UN protection of civilian site in Juba were raped by government soldiers not far from the camp perimeters. The women and girls had been venturing outside the camp to get food. At the UN Security Council meeting, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, said it's time for the council to act.
It was South Sudan's leaders who failed to live up to their end of the bargain by being unable to put their personal power struggles aside. We now have to come together as a council, as an international community, around a single approach to end the violence in South Sudan and, more importantly, to prevent its reoccurrence. In the immediate term, this means working with and pressing South Sudan's leadership to provide for security in Juba, to safeguard freedom of movement, and to provide for unfettered humanitarian access. This also means answering IGAD's and the AU's call for strengthening UNMISS so that the mission can better protect civilians and help establish a secure environment so the parties can, in fact, make political progress.
And John Power says leaders in South Sudan must demonstrate a political will. They must carry out the tough reforms that are laid out in the August peace deal.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with a song by Freedom Boys. We've been listening to Freedom Boys singing in the native Bari language. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kone dana ngura. Mojuka dena kwa kendia. Kone dana.